Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Now across from Ekholm to Bouchard. Reinhardt with the steal. Nice move. Up for the net. Scores! Goes to Renan. Back out. Jump back and shot. Scores! Carter Verhaeghe turns. Shoots. Knocked down by Skinner. Puck is loose. Scores! Back to Barkov. Through the empty net. Scores! It's a hat trick. Sam Reinhart. Puck set down towards the empty net. Reinhart with his fourth. The Panthers begin to celebrate. Panther perfection.
Full effect across the NHL. The Florida Panthers are back-to-back champs, and wow, what a performance to close it out in Game 6 on home ice. Mm-hmm. 2 years in a row, Marty Baron, they get to raise the trophy in front of their own fans.
Yeah, and do you think, like, Sam Reinhart was thinking, like, I want to take that Conn Smythe away from everybody else by getting 4 goals? I know a couple of empty netters, but, you know.
Do you think the fourth one was almost more accidental?
Well, yeah, I mean, like, that, by that point, he's like, I just want to send it all the way down, and it goes in.
Pretty high shooting percentage, though,
Good shooting percentage. Holy but you know what I was thinking about when that happened is you're not a big basketball guy, Duffer, but in
I've probably watched more of the finals than you have.
So I've actually enjoyed this OKC Indiana. But
you know what I think about every time I watch it? The Winnipeg Jets.
Because of?
Because the colors are right in the NBA Finals by their fans.
They wear
yellow in Indiana and blue in OKC. And it's like, wow, this looks really cool.
This is perfect.
But anyway.
Okay, so in the Eastern Conference Finals, in the NBA, they give out the MVP of the Eastern Conference Final. Mm-hmm. And so they come up and Indiana wins. And they're like, the winner of the Larry Bird MVP for the Eastern Conference Final is, and Tyrese Haliburton took a couple of steps kind of pointing at himself, like, and then they're like, Pascal Siakam, and then he went Homer Simpson back into the hedge, right? But last night I thought, maybe Sam Reinhart is hoping that maybe I get the Conn Smythe after this wonderful Game 6 performance. But Sam Bennett won the Conn Smythe. He was amazing throughout the whole playoffs. I think Brad Marchand was right there. But no, it was
Bobrovsky should have been.
Bobrovsky was really good. There was no
what
way.
What were the votes on the Conn?
I didn't look it up.
Want me to do that live?
Do that live
on
if
the
you. I know you can handle the Google really good. So, but
is
no,
that true?
I felt like Sam Bennett was very deserving. This is amazing, and I know here in Buffalo, there's a part of fans that are like, oh my gosh, like. you know, O'Reilly left and Eichel left and Reinhardt left and all of that. Well, you know what? It happens to a lot of teams. Calgary had, you know, Sam Bennett, and they had Magic at Chuck, and they decided to go in a different direction. I mean, it happens to a lot of teams. It's not just a Buffalo phenomenon. It's, you know, teams make decisions moving forward, and it may not fall the way you want to, or maybe you were forced. Or
players make decisions.
Players make decisions. Exactly. You're like, what's the first topic of conversation when I walked in here today? It was Connor McDavid. Like, the Oilers... I think Connor McDavid stays with the Edmonton Oilers for his career.
Okay.
But it's not going to be the Oilers' decision. It's going to be Connor McDavid's decision.
Correct.
So, again, like, you could blame the Oilers if somehow they have to trade Connor McDavid or he goes somewhere else. But it's not the Oilers' decision. Obviously, they want to keep Connor McDavid. And I think he stays there. But there's a fun conversation to be had. You know what? They lost a second consecutive Stanley Cup final because, I believe, they did not fix what was the number one thing, and it was goaltending. And look, they squeezed by. Stuart Skinner lose the first two games of the LA series. Calvin Pickard wins six in a row, gets hurt. Skinner comes back. But they got to the end again, and that was a big, big glaring mismatch, Bobrovsky versus Stuart Skinner or Calvin Pickard.
True, but if you're going to ask the question, who's responsible for the Panthers winning the Stanley Cup again, the answer is the Toronto Maple Leafs. 2-0 series lead. 2-0 lead and 3-1 lead in game three. Lose the game in overtime. Everything changed. And then everything that not entirely stems back to that moment in time, but pretty close. The depth of the Florida Panthers, the celebration of those players who had not been on the previous championship and who were out on the ice at the end of the game last night. It was one of the most elite, balanced attacks that we have ever seen in Stanley Cup playoff history. But even those that didn't score, weren't expected to score, had their moments where the Panthers needed them most. Changed the game for us somehow, some way. And their depth did that. And then consistently, it was every single one of their top players. And remember, I don't know, a month and a half ago when Shayna Goldman was on and I quizzed you, hey, who's the Panthers' leading scorer right now? Loesterinen.
Yeah.
And how dominant was he in closeout games, right? Unbelievable balance through this Florida team, and they saved their season after falling down 2-0 and down by two goals in game three against the Maple Leafs. It's remarkable based on, like,
that's a 30 for 30 on ESPN right there. What happened?
Well, from
game three, 2-0. How did you get out of it?
Even the overtime. Think of the overtime that game and how many chances there were, you know, both ways, and how the Leafs have to feel like they were that close.
And now the Leafs had game five at home just to get blown out in game five.
Yeah.
Just to go to Florida game six and win.
Stunning game.
Get another chance at game seven at home to lose that one. Brad Marchand, by the way, had two goals and an assist, I believe, in game seven against the Leafs. He was second. So, I mean, Bennett was number one in the Conn Smythe with 11 first-place votes, 7 second place. There's 18 voters on that. Marchand was 7-11. So it was 11-7 for Bennett. Marchand was 7-11. So it was really a two-player race.
Who is getting their membership revoked by voting for Gus Forsling?
It's a third place.
Yeah, I get it, but you're not. No, like, I love defensemen who can do everything more than most, probably. But, like, seriously, Loesterinen has to be in. Anyway,
Reinhardt, you could have voted Seth Jones ahead of Gus Forsling, probably.
Debatable. I think Forsling, as the games went on, I was like, this is the Forsling we remember. I thought it was pretty impressive, but anyway.
I get Draisaitl. Draisaitl finished fourth, by the way. He had 7 third
place. He led the playoffs in points.
Led the playoffs in points and had the 4 overtime goals and had a primary assist on the other one. Like, he factored in on all these big goals for the Edmonton Oilers. I think that is good.
Tied with McDavid, I should say.
In playoff scoring?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's still number one.
But Leon had four game winners and 11 total goals.
Four game winners were four overtime goals.
Right.
That's clutch. So I get that. But look, we had the Tampa Bay Lightning. I will call it a dynasty because when you go to three straight cups and you win two, this is a different era. This is not...
Hang on. Who are you talking about?
When Tampa won.
Oh.
That's a dynasty, I feel.
Well, and so the Panthers are the exact same.
The Panthers are the exact same. The only difference is the Panthers lost the first one to win the next two.
Right.
Tampa won the first two, lost the third one.
What's the common denominator in all of this? It's probably the wrong time to ask the question. Anyway, just wanted to reiterate Corey Perry.
Oh, he lost five of the last six with five. Yeah.
Anyway, moving on.
I mean, think of it, the teams that he was on. Montreal.
Tampa. Yeah.
And then now twice with the Edmonton Oilers.
What does that do for a player's value? Like, do you want him to get you to the final?
Yeah.
Or do you like, we're never going to win with this guy?
99% of the teams would want to get to
the final.
Yes. And say, we
got there. And he was wildly productive.
He was a big reason why they got there.
Holy cow.
But, okay, dynasties used to be the New York Islanders winning four in a row. Before that was the Montreal Canadiens winning four in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even the Flyers winning two in a row in the mid-70s, can't really call that a dynasty.
No, because they were dwarfed by Montreal's awesomeness.
Exact. Yeah. And the Islanders' awesomeness. And the Edmonton Oilers winning 5-7 after that. So that's what you're getting when you look at dynasties. But now the Pittsburgh Penguins won back-to-back.
Mm-hmm.
And I still don't think that's a dynasty because what happened before and after, whatnot, with Florida and what Tampa did, the fact that they going to three straight cups, both teams, winning two of the three, going in, sometimes even in the regular season, being like, oh, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, the Florida Panthers, we don't care if we have home ice advantage. Like, they were not worried about...
No one should ever care about that.
Yeah, but they were outspoken, saying, we don't care.
Right.
Toronto wanted home ice advantage. Tampa wanted to try to get there. Florida was like, yeah, battle it out. We'll finish third in the Atlantic. Mm-hmm. We're fine with it.
Well, the Panthers scoring leaders for the entire playoffs. Sam Reinhart, 23 points. Matthew Tkachuk, 23 points. Carter Verhaeghe, 23 points. Bennett, 22. Barkov, 22. Marchand, 20. 19 for Lustarinen. And Anton Lundell, who again just quietly gets overshadowed by everyone.
Yeah.
There he is at 18 points. Like, this is such a remarkably deep team. I don't know. Has your opinion changed now that they've won as to whether they're going to be able to keep it all together?
No.
Like, sorry, keep it together the way they want to, meaning?
They let Ekblad go. I think it's going to be their decision. They're
really?
They're going to let him go. They got Seth Jones, and they'll be fine.
Really?
I think the number one priority is obviously you re-sign Sam Bennett, and I think that gets done. Then you have to see.
I think you get Forsling or Ekblad on the cheap. I really do.
You really do?
Yeah, and I don't believe Ekblad will have the same impact somewhere else.
No, he definitely won't.
That's my concern. So,
and if you're Aaron Ekblad, you probably have to make that decision. Do I want to start fresh somewhere else or have it where now he's probably considered a two or a three on the Florida Panthers? Like,
at any given moment, I think that's a very fair statement. Of course not.
So he's fine probably. But I think Aaron Ekblad, again, when agents do their things, right? Going to say, hey, we can get you $8 million there. We can get you $8.5 million. We can do this. We can do that. I think that's probably where this, in my opinion, is going to go. Sam Bennett, you sign, and then you make a really strong pitch for Brad Marchand to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back out there and you roll the same three lines, you go Verhaeghe, Barkov, Reinhart, Rodriguez, Bennett, Tkachuk, Lundell with Lustarinen and Marchand, I mean, seriously, how do you not become another favorite for next year having those top three lines?
Not going to get
any. And Bob in net in his last year of his deal.
Huh. Wow. That might be one of the most fascinating contracts in NHL history. Because for so long, people were like, what a disaster. They've got when I say that, it felt like a long time. The reality was it maybe wasn't as long, but in the end, like, to say it paid off, it's just not even fair. Like, he's been so good. He is a – this was maybe never in doubt. Like, he is such a clear-cut Hall of Famer. It's just – it's wild.
Have you ever
watched
The Greatest Catch? Like,
Yeah.
You know, you get on JetBlue, and there's one of the channels, and it's always on mm-hmm. Discovery or whatnot. You know, like, there's – at one point, the captain of the – I forget all the boat name, the vessel's names, but mm-hmm. they're like, we got to make a decision here. We're going to go north through the ice cap. We're going to dump our string, and we're going to hope it works, right? And it's like everybody's working 24 hours at night. They're knocking ice off the boat. It's like awful. But they have to be desperate because it's not working, mm-hmm. and they need to find the crab. They have to go out there and find the crab. And then... you know, the drama, the music, and they pull the first string off the boat, and you're like, you know, is there going to be crab in it or not? And then they pull it the first year,
right.
no crab, and you're like, oh, that was Bobrovsky.
Mm-hmm.
You pull the first one, no crab. Then the second one, and then it's heavy and crab everywhere, and then it just keeps on going and going and going. That's really what that feels like for Sergei Bobrovsky. And the Florida Panthers, they took a massive, like, chance. You know, to go somewhere where nobody's ever gone. Mm-hmm. Give a goaltender that type of money mm-hmm. as a free agent. You don't know what that's going to be like.
So what's the lesson? What, I mean, is there a lesson in all of this? Like, because...
It works if it works. It's only a good decision if it works. Like, a lot of decisions you make, you hope it works, but it doesn't, and you look...
We're going into the exact time of year where more of these decisions get made. And everybody seemingly gets scared by the initial sticker shock.
Yeah, but by mistakes that you've made before. Like Brian Burke always says, former general manager.
Right, but this is now not a mistake. Like this ends up being, and you have to live with the buildup, right? And you can't just assume that whenever you tweak your roster or make a major move, just like you shouldn't expect it's going to guarantee you a Stanley Cup, you have to realize that it could take a while here. You know, like this, you might be still on the low end for a bit. I don't know. It's all, it's,
I mean, it truly was perfect. To use another kind of, like, when you have when you're playing blackjack at the casino and 11 is showing and you're going to double down,
mm-hmm.
Chances are you may get a good card, a 9 or a 10, and go to 20 or 21. Well, sometimes a 5 shows up and you're sitting at 16.
Yep.
And sometimes you still win the hand because the dealer busts, but sometimes you don't. Yep. And now you're like, I just lost $200, right? And that's the way
it is. How'd your buddy make out last night with his bet?
Well, terrible. he's not my buddy.
I know.
He's a guy on social media. Put $13 on 5 championships, and Oklahoma City Thunders and the Edmonton Oilers were the last two to get, and $13 could have turned into $270,000. Mm-hmm. He had a cash-out option when the series was tied 1-1, I believe, in boat. That was somewhere upwards of $95,000, and he didn't take it. And he was at the game yesterday in Florida.
Yeah, could have taken $40,000 yesterday.
He could have taken $40,000 yesterday, which would have been a no-brainer because I didn't think the Oilers were going to win this, but anyway, you know who's happy about last night's win?
Who? What?
Well, my kid, Jacob's really excited because this will be 3 years in a row that the Cup will go to West Point.
Oh, that's right.
2 years ago was Vegas, mm-hmm. and that family, you know, that group over there, they're West Point grad, and the Viola, Vinny Viola, that's Viola, right?
Mm-hmm.
Family in Florida, they went there last year, they brought the Cup, they'll probably go back again this year.
Well, how does it all impact the Sabres?
Well, the funny season begins now, officially. Buyout window.
The funny season?
The fun season. The silly season.
Silly.
Funny, whatever. Silly season's a Formula One thing. You know, when teams sign the driver for next year, but there's still 6 races left?
Mm-hmm.
That's the silly season. I'm saying now the fun season starts. Okay? You got a buyout window coming up. You got the draft next week. You're going to have free agency a few days later. Let's go. Like, let's start to get the work done. Mm-hmm. What are the Sabres doing? We've talked a lot about J.J. Paterka. July 1 could be an extension for Alex Tuch. What about Ryan McLeod?
Mm-hmm.
What about Bo Byram?
Mm-hmm.
What about goaltending? What is all of... Like, I look again. The Sabres were top 10 in offense last year, right? They were 10th.
Yep.
Okay. Like, do you think you need more goals than what you've been able to provide? I think the power play needs to be better. 18%, mm-hmm. not going to cut it. But if your power play improves, your overall offense is going to improve. For me, it's, again, about two things. Your blue line and your goaltending. If that gets better, it just... 5% better. I'm not asking for 50% better. 5% better. You're in a much different position. How do you make that group or that blue line crease better in the next 2 weeks mm-hmm. or in the next 3 weeks? Like, I think that by July 3rd, mm-hmm. we need to know that it's going to be better.
When you watched Florida do what they did, and I think... What was it? They led more than any team ever.
In the final, yeah.
In the final, which speaks to the much-talked-about first periods
mm-hmm.
and
again,
their dominance against the Oilers in that regard. And we think to how this season started for the Sabres and how they had flipped the script and they had great starts. And then it became... Okay, they're still leading the league in scoring first and or leading after one, but too often it was not translating into points and or wins. When you watched the Panthers and recognizing that this conversation is apples and oranges because playoffs and regular season are completely different. However, looking at it the way you did, what did you see in the Panthers where you're like, I need to see more of this. I need to see more of this. I need to see, like, what was the trait in these situations that resonated with you the most?
So, okay, so I'm going to flip it. And what did I see in the Oilers that made them not being good in the first, but also they struggled in the second period. They struggled in the second period. And I think it comes down to what we saw from the Sabres last year. A lot of time, Lindy Ruff would talk about in the second period, we got caught on the ice too long, you know, long shifts. We couldn't change. I mean, yesterday, again, 3-0 goal, mm-hmm. right? It's a terrible goal given up by Stuart Skinner, the rebound. But the Florida Panthers are in the Oilers zone for almost a minute mm-hmm. of puck possession. I think it comes down to two things. It comes down to defense and goaltending. When you look at, are you able to get yourself out of the zone so you can get a change in the second period? Are you able to get a save when you need to? Are you able to maybe have less time spent in your defensive zone?
Mm-hmm.
I think it comes down to those two things. And I look at Florida, yes, they had the lines rolling. Even A.J. Greer with mm-hmm. Gadjevich, and who was on that fourth line too. Anyway, doesn't matter because they just were out there. But they played a role
mm-hmm.
of rolling the lines. Do I think that you win the cup because you have a good fourth line? No. You have to have a really strong top nine. And, you know, then you break it down to a really, really strong top six. And, you know, did the Oilers have the best two players in the series? Yeah, they had McDavid and Draisaitl.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't compete two against nine. That's the way it goes. But I still think that Florida had the consistent push. Now, Florida... Yeah, we saw against Toronto going to seven games, right?
Mm-hmm.
We saw against Tampa. Tampa was struggling. But if you're able to get a save or to just get out of the zone a little faster, you were fine. The Oilers couldn't do it. Sabres had a tough time with that last year. That's, again, that just puts the emphasis on that blue line and that crease even more.
Yeah, I felt like, and it was actually really interesting because there were a lot of low shot total games, and even as last night was going on, the Panthers were still hovering in the mid to high teens
yeah.
as far as shots on. But I just looked at them as a team that always wanted to make a play. It didn't matter where they were on the ice, where the perceived pressure was coming from. They were never going to give it up without due cause. And it was amazing because they would always look for a pass, and more often than not, they were finding it, which led to the possession, and it didn't have to result in shots on goal. It just kept the puck away from Edmonton, and that comes with so much in the way of second and third effort on situations.
Yeah.
And, you know, to your point about the fourth line, like with Nosek had ended up having this incredible moment with Maurice after,
mm-hmm.
because, of course, Nosek's puck over the glass at the start of the series you know, was the potential downfall for this, mm-hmm. you know, we were talking
OT
dynasty
game
earlier.
One.
Like,
that's
who knows, right?
Was.
Yeah. But Maurice shared, you know, his own mistakes that he had made in the series and called that one of the best moments of his career,
yep.
the moment that he shared with Nosek on the ice. And it goes back to just how the game ended and those guys out there and stuff like that. But, yeah, no, for me, it's just, it's
do you remember what Maurice said after the game when Nosek put the puck over the glass, game one? And they said, how do you talk? Have you talked to Thomas and how do you deal with it? He goes, just got to tell him he's a great player.
Mm-hmm.
And don't let him sit by himself at dinner tonight.
Yeah.
Like, surround him. And, like, I thought that was great. That was tongue-in-cheek, but that was great. Like, he's a great player. And he made a mistake. Like, okay,
yep.
I almost said it again, but stuff happened. But
well,
Brian
Schmidt,
Campbell's stuff
Schmidt
happened but,
last night for the first time in Stanley Cup final play.
That's true. Him and Seth Jones got the cup right from Barkov.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It was funny because...
We have to break.
Sam Reinhart, Sam Bennett, a bunch of the veterans, the guys that have won two, didn't get the cup until later
mm-hmm.
in the passing of the cup. They were doing interviews. They were celebrating with family. Then they're like, hey, I probably should get the cup. And then they're late, like 20 minutes later, and they're skating around with the cup.
Worth the wait. And we have a special guest coming up
yes.
right here on Sabres Live. Stay with us.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome back. We are live at KeyBank Center on this day here on Sabres Live, and we're thrilled to be joined by Kerry Socker, the Chief of Staff of the Resource Council of Western New York. Kerry, thank you so much for coming down here today. When you have an opportunity like this to talk about the Resource Council, what do you want?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
They're already stars, but now you can make them all stars. Vote in the 2025 Pro Spirit MLB All-Star Ballot 5 times daily. Show your favorite players just how much you want to see them play in Atlanta. And new this year, download and visit the MLB Pro Spirit game during Phase 1, and you can secure an additional vote per day for your favorite players. Submit your ballot today at MLB.com/vote and add some shine to summer. Voting ends June 26th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. MLB trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
To say, and what do you want to let people know about what it is and its impact here in Buffalo?
Well, thank you for having me. Resource Council is a gem in the heart of the east side of Buffalo. If you're from here, you know our building is the old Humboldt YMCA. That's what it was, the Humboldt Y, for me growing up.
And that's almost 100 years ago.
Almost,
right?
100 years next year, yes. And It was a staple in the city for a long time. It was, our grandparents and great-grandparents went there. So it's wonderful to be able to bring it back to life. During COVID, it was dormant. That was not, the city was not happy about that, the community. So we, you know, had to make sure that we brought it back bigger and better than it even was back then. It's got a lot going on. We are small but mighty. We've got services from children to adults and seniors. And I just want folks to know that we're there. The doors are open. The services are there. I can go through what we do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a it needs to be heard. And we appreciate the Sabres support, because without the Sabres support, I don't know where we'd be. You know, they were there from day one. And they continue to be there for us. Rich Dreller is on our board. And it means so much for an organization this big to know who we are and to appreciate what we do and to support us and to keep our doors open. It's not easy to run a community center. Funding is not always in abundance. So we depend on organizations like the Sabres to keep us going.
If you need stories about Rich Sorreller, Duffer and I will tell you plenty of them.
Oh, so I would love to hear those. No. Yes.
But look, the community center, you know, you have an everyday goal and purpose, but there's also moments where there's a big need. And when we had the mass shooting, you know, in 2022, you guys had just been in for about a year and you were overwhelmed with all that you had to do to service the community. It said, the little thing I read, that you serve 78,000 people in the aftermath of that May 14, 2022. I mean, how does those situations come for you to be in the community and to help with that?
We were still getting our feet wet when that happened. We were all there that day. I left around noon. And was going to Toronto, and it was, my phone was just ringing, and what is going on? And it was our CEO saying, you know, did you look at your phone? And I was like, no. And she was saying, there's been a shooting at Tops. And I was like, what? Our Tops? And she was like, yeah. And I says, okay, hold on. So I pulled over, read it, did a U-turn, came back. By the time I got back, we were already getting food in our parking lot. Mm-hmm. So folks were just bringing donations, but we didn't know what to do with them. The reality of the situation is I grew up a mile from where I work. Mm-hmm. And that Tops was hard to get open in the first place. I mean, they fought for like 20 years to get that Tops open. And once that Tops was there, you know, it was literally the only access to banking, you know, grocery shopping, prescriptions, you know, everything, right? So if you picture overnight, all of that is gone. Mm-hmm. We had to provide those services as best we could. So the best thing that we could think of was, number one, to provide food. My charge was, with an army of volunteers, was to distribute food from sunup to sundown. Mm-hmm. So from like 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., we gave out food. But how do you do that, right? You don't know what people's diets are. You don't know what their likes and dislikes are. I kind of know because I'm from that neighborhood and I know my folks. But it was a struggle, right, to get the right things delivered, to get proper things that made sense, mm-hmm. you know. Then we were realizing, well, people couldn't do their banking. So we were able to collaborate with a bank and get a mobile ATM brought in. People needed to pay their utility bills. We didn't know how we could do that. We weren't really able to get the payments per se, but we were able to get the utility companies to come. Mm-hmm. And what we did was we realized that after that, May 14th goes away, the cameras go away, but the services were still needed. So we had to think of a way to continue to give those things to the community and make it on a regular basis. And that's where our Resource Connection Days came from. So twice a month, I host about 20 different vendors. And they can range anywhere from National Fuel to National Grid to the health insurance companies, local organizations, Buffalo Public Schools, adult education. It could be a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. I try to rotate them out so there's a different group each month. So with them being there, our folks don't drive in that neighborhood. About 57% of the neighborhood doesn't drive. That was a statistic that was given to me. I always go with it because living there, you can see that a lot of folks don't have cars. So by doing that, they're able to meet one-on-one with all these people and get the services or the help that they need. And I also developed a relationship with Crayer's Farms, and I'm able to give everybody that walks through our doors every other Thursday a dozen eggs, which, if anybody knows about the price of eggs, it's huge, right? Mm-hmm. So there's just little things that we do. You know, we get a lot of donations. We give out personal care kits. And, you know, whenever I get something good, we've been giving out energy efficient light bulbs. Mm-hmm. Things that cost a lot of money that we get donated to us, we turn around and give back to the community.
Wow. How do we get more in the way of donations?
Listen, if anybody that's watching this wants to donate or contribute, volunteer, we always need help. Our phone number is 716-783-8259. You can call us anytime about any of our programs. We offer after-school programming. We have summer camp. I have senior programming. We offer a frozen food program where seniors can come every Monday and get frozen meals, and then they can take them home and eat them when they want them. That gives them a lunch and a dinner for every day of the week until the following week. We offer free farmers markets. That'll be starting in July. We have fitness classes. We have yoga the first Saturday of the month. And our swimming pool is
I want to ask you about the swimming pool because...
That's my baby.
So when I have an issue at the house, need to fix the sink, the toilet, something, I go to YouTube and I watch videos. So you had that pool that hadn't been used in years.
Yes.
And you watch YouTube videos to bring the pool back to life?
I did. So I was still getting my feet wet when I got there. And one of the first things that Catherine had asked me to do was to get the pool inspected. And the health department came and said, and I was like, what's wrong? And they were like, you have no chlorine in your pool. And I was like, that's a thing? Yeah. I thought all flooring pools had chlorine. He says, yes, ma'am, your pool's been dormant for several years and there's zero chlorine in it. And I was like, okay, so what do I do? Long story short, I didn't know much about indoor pools. I've never really had my own pool anyway, so I didn't really know much about any pools. But I started watching videos and realized that pH and chlorine had to jive and there had to be numbers that matched. And I decided that I was going to go to a local pool supply store, plead my case and say, this is what I got going on. And then they were going to give me advice of what to do. Well, they did. And I'd keep coming back. And the problem with it is if somebody's pool in the backyard might have 20,000 gallons, we had 44,000 gallons, right? So, you know, I'm buying stuff and trying to figure it out. And I was inching my way up. You know, the colors were changing little by little. After about 30 or 40 trips, and my little Poland Spring bottle of water that I'd say, could you please test it again? And they'd say, and then that last trip they were like, and I was like, yes. And wow. I called the health department and they came back and we passed. So
amazing.
Luckily we've been able to get some help, through the years and, have it maintained now, twice a month so that it stays good. It's still an old pool with old innards, so it takes a lot of money and a lot of time to, you know, keep it up, but we're working awesome. It out.
That's just one example, but it is a huge example. So since it's been reopened, like, how meaningful has that been? What do you see that your community gets out of this?
750 kids have learned how to swim. 750 kids have learned how to swim.
Yeah.
50 adults. Every one of our after-school children learns how to swim. Every one of our summer camp students learns how to swim. That is a requirement. There's no, I'm not swimming today. That doesn't work with us. Everybody learns how to swim. We're not asking everybody to be professional swimmers. We just want you to be able to save yourself in the water.
Yes.
Safety in the water is a life skill. And we're very, very proud to have taught that many. And I'm not stopping. I do about 100 a month, so...
That is amazing. That is, and you mentioned that YMCA before, but there's a, you know, there's a Sabres connection. You know, like Pat LaFontaine used to go and play like street hockey with the kids at the YMCA before. It goes back to even before the community
Center. Yes. So the YMCA was just I'm telling you, if you could, if somebody did the research and looked on a Facebook page, I think it was, that was looking for memories, and hundreds of comments will go up. They used to party in there. There were dances in there. There were basketball tournaments. Midnight basketball was huge there. There's just a lot of things that happened there that we're literally bringing back to life. Our CEO, Catherine Roberts, is a visionary.
Yeah.
She doesn't take no for an answer. And we make things happen with little or no money. So we always need money, but it's a beautiful thing.
Sabres Foundation has obviously, as you mentioned right off the top, been very instrumental here in kind of providing seed money and another donation now. What other entities in the community have been really supportive? And again, I would ask, you know, how would you want to extend the invitation for others to get involved?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, I will toot our horn anywhere I can. A lot of people know who we are, but a lot of people don't. After May 14th, we were blessed because a lot of people that had never even been on East Ferry Street, you know, came to volunteer. Some of them came back. A lot of them said they were coming back but didn't. So we have been blessed, like, with Highmark and M&T Bank and Ralph Wilson. You know, we've had a lot of assistance that, you know, it's what we need to keep the doors open.
Yeah.
Very difficult. It's not easy. It's a nonprofit world is a cutthroat business, whether anybody wants to admit it or not. Everybody's kind of going after the same pool of money. So I just ask if anybody wants to give, wants to come for a tour. I give great tours. It's a beautiful building. I mean, it's one of those things that if you walk around and you're just like, oh, this place is really cool. You know, it's old, but it's got that old world charm to it. But we've added a little modern flair to it. So,
and you say it's not a community center; it's a family. It's family. You grew up there. You've been there. You know the people. You know the need, but people can come from everywhere to make sure that they are taken care
of. Absolutely. We are a Resource Council of Western New York. Yeah. We do not serve just Buffalo. We've had people come as far as Niagara Falls for services because they know we're going to take care of them. We've developed trust, and it's really important. That community was underserved for years prior to May 14th and us being there. And they deserve more. It's a hard-working, working-class community. You know, we're not a crutch in any way, shape, or form. We're just that little bridge when things get low or your fridge is a little empty. It's not enabling anyone. It's just that little bridge that, you know, folks need. We've got so much to offer. And, you know, once you're inside and you get a tour and you realize what we do, you see, you know, that's we're just there for the community. There's no other reason to be there, you know, and we all love what we do.
So, again, the easiest way for people to connect with you, is there a website or reiterate the phone number?
Sure. Our website is www.rcwny.org. Our Facebook is Resource Council of Western New York. Phone number 716-783-8259. My name is Carrie Socker. You can call me anytime. I'm always open to calls, tours, groups coming in to volunteer. We're going to be part of the United Way Day of Caring soon. They're going to help us with summer camp setup. So we've been blessed, but we need lots more blessings.
Well, you know what we need? We need the Stanley Cup in the, you know, the Resource Council of Western New York in the next couple of years.
Yes.
We need to do that.
Absolutely.
And take a nice picture in front of the building and all of that. That's what we need.
Yes, I agree.
Carrie,
I agree.
Thank you. You've given us a kind of theater of the mind here. Great representation of what the building and what happens in the building is like. But I have no doubt, based on your enthusiasm, that you do give great tours. And I really want people to experience you.
Come on over. I'll show you.
So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely our pleasure.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
Carrie Socker, the Chief of Staff, Resource Council of Western New York. We're back after this on Sabres Live.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
You could rightfully assume that over all these years, a tremendous daily resource for us is Sabres.com. And the guy behind it, Jordan LaBarber, is with us now. Hi.
Hello.
It's been too long. I know you two have been hanging out whenever I'm not around, but it's nice to see you.
It's nice to be with both of you guys.
Thank you. What did you think about last night?
I thought, you know, it was a little disappointing because it wasn't close.
and I wanted game seven. But you know what? As I sat there, the one thing that kept coming to mind, especially you know watching Florida dominate, I've been working in the league since 2015, which is crazy, 10 years now. But I'm thinking to myself, is this Florida team the best team I've seen in that span? And that includes two other teams that won back-to-back
Pittsburgh
cups.
So what answer did you come to?
I think yes. And I'm thinking if Florida and Tampa play in a seven-game series, those Tampa teams,
Which team
Florida
would Carter Verhaeghe play for?
That's a good question. I think he plays for both. This is fantasy.
But it's kind of like those questions are coming up, and you look at individuals. Like Mike Sullivan was the coach of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Mm-hmm. Still thought of, you know, almost 10 years later as one of the best coach in the National Hockey League. John Cooper, Paul Maurice. Then you're saying, okay, which one of those three is the better coach, right?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, I would give coaching, I guess, equal for the three. They're three great coaches, multi-cup winners. The one thing that separates Florida for me is just, one, they're stacked at a level that I don't think those other teams were. Like, you have a third line.
Pittsburgh had Bonino, Kessel, and Carl Hagelin as a third line, which is
Bonino
great,
rode that wave for quite a while.
Bonino. That was great, like social media calls. Yeah. But I don't think Tampa had that third line, but they did have Kucherov, and they had Vasilevsky, and they had Hedman. They're different, but I agree with you. I think Florida is probably the better team.
What are we finding on Sabres.com these days to help get us to next week and specifically the end of next week when the draft rolls around?
Yeah, well, as usual, we have our prospect lists up on the website. We have a bunch of options who might be there on the table for the Sabres at forward, a bunch of options on defense. So many ways it can go with the number nine pick.
You get any gut feels on this after a decade of doing this, and then but also just knowing the needs of the team and the maybe urgency as far as like, is this the year where you just like you don't use the pick and you do something like what are you thinking at this point?
I think usually you can, when you're reading all the expert articles and projections, there's usually a group of like six or seven or eight names when you're in the back end of the top 10 that you can choose from and be pretty confident, okay, it'd be one of these guys. Hellenius was one of those last year. He was on the list we wrote about. Which one of those eight, like, that is always a toss-up. It differs so much from team to team. The two players you see a lot in mock drafts and media mock drafts are two defensemen. Mirka is a right shot. He's 6'5", 6'6", and he's and Keyshawn Aitchison. He's supposed to be really physical, 6'1", 6'2", and he's a left shot. So, but who knows? There's a lot of good forwards too. So it's really just about reading about the 9 or 10 guys and then seeing what happens on draft day. And there's also the possibility of a trade.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But when you do your like kind of preparation, you also have to go through like a bunch of mock drafts and say who the Islanders are picking at one and how does that move. But you never know. At 4 or 5, there could be a trade, and then it changes the whole perspective of everything. Do you anticipate maybe some movement before the Sabres so that it could trigger the Sabres to move at 9 right now?
I mean, there usually is. So
unless you go to, was it Montreal where there was, or Nashville, which draft there was no trades? Nothing happened last year either, you're right. There was supposed to be a buzzer, a horn,
but
at Sphere.
But the Sabres moved last year, and they ended up getting Hellenius, who...
They moved the day before.
Say nothing, I talk like in big name, like massive blockbuster, you know, things happening. But anyway, we're into the final 30 seconds. Okay. Real quick, we just had Kerry join us. What else can you possibly say about the Resource Council of Western New York?
I spent the day there. Kerry gave me a tour. Just a very important partner for the Sabres in the community. Sabres have been there since the beginning, helping support their mission on the east side, and they care so much about what they do, helping kids, helping people who need it.
Supposed to be the best store ever in 2 seconds, was it?
The best what?
Best tour guide.
Best tour guide ever, absolutely.
Okay, best tour guide
Jordan,
ever.
Jordan, thank you. Juneteenth tomorrow. We'll see you next week, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.